A milestone for virtual reality, plus a story about the harsh reality of the labor force. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, there's word this morning that consumer spending went up just slightly in February, even as January's figure was revised downward slightly. For a check on consumers now that winter has turned to spring, let's turn to market strategist Karen Cavanaugh at Voya Investment Management.
The consumer has actually been doing pretty well. And the reason why the consumer has been doing well is that the consumer has a job. The jobs market has been one of the best in 15 years. In addition, overall, the housing market has been steady as well. So while a lot of people are lamenting that the consumers aren't spending that much, they really are hanging in there.
And that's interesting here in 2016, because as we came out of 2015, there was some weakness. That was not a spectacular holiday shopping season that we had.
No, it wasn't. But still, overall, they've been plowing forward. If you take a look at year-over-year numbers, the consumer spending has been increasing. The consumer has been saving. They've been paying down their debts. They have higher health care bills. So it hasn't really translated into just retail sales.
And I'm glad you acknowledged those health care costs. The other thing is rents.
Right.
Because the housing market is tight in so many markets. Those are forces pushing the other way.
Some of that gas savings is going into health care, it's going into housing costs, it's going into rent. But overall, consumer is moving the economy forward. The consumer is 70% of the U.S. economy. So if they weren't out there spending, I think we'd be in deeper trouble than what we've seen. And the low GDP numbers would actually be a lot lower if it wasn't for the strength of the consumer.
Karen Cavanaugh, Senior Market Strategist at Voya Investment. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That report today also tracks inflation, which went down last month a sliver. The most populous state is closer to getting the highest minimum wage in the country. There's news the California governor, Democrat Jerry Brown, has come out with his support of a $15 an hour minimum. It's $10 now. This would be worked out with the legislature and likely phased in over 5 or 6 years. Separately, a union-backed initiative to boost the minimum wage has qualified for the November ballot in California. After years of hype, the first Oculus Rift virtual reality headsets will start landing at the doorsteps of aficionados today. They go for $600 apiece, but the real costs are much higher, and that could fertilize what you might call a virtual reality economy, Nova Safo reports.
To use the Oculus Rift headset, you need a powerful computer, probably not one you already own, says Nathan Edwards of the tech blog The Wirecutter.
99% of the laptops on the market don't work, maybe even higher than that.
Oculus, which is owned by Facebook, is offering deals that include desktops for around $1,600. That's too pricey for the mainstream market, says Stephanie Yamas of Superdata Research.
We don't see a lot of adoption with non-gamers.
She says prices could eventually come down, but mass adoption won't happen until mobile devices can pack enough power for virtual reality.
They're quite a few hardware companies that are looking to be first movers in that market.
Like Samsung and Microsoft, software developers are also ramping up, and not just for games. Michael Pachter is with Wedbush Securities.
Every realtor will do 360 views of every house that they have for sale.
Within a few years, Pachter says virtual reality will be routine. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The main employment and unemployment reports for this month are due on Friday. Forecasters expect strongish job growth, with unemployment remaining under 5%. But among the things we'll be watching, the millions of workers who've dropped out of the labor force altogether. And among those, about 1.5 million prime-age men not working anymore and not looking. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman has more.
A lot of these men, from their mid-20s to mid-50s, used to be their family's main wage earners. Caretaking now keeps some of them busy. According to the Labor Department, in the last decade, there's been a 30% increase in the number of middle-aged men who say they're not working because of family responsibilities.
I'm Anna. Elsa. Yeah.
These two little girls, age 2 and 5, are the day job of stay-at-home dad Jonah Sutton Morse. They were showing me their movie princess costumes via Skype. Sutton Morse is 33, a former business consultant living in suburban Chicago.
I would love to do it forever and ever and ever.
Sutton Morse's wife is a law firm lawyer, so they can afford this one-income life for a while, anyway.
It's both hard to find a job that would pay for childcare and for what I am doing for our family right now. And also, the longer I don't do that, the harder it becomes to go back to what I was doing or find something new to do.
According to the Labor Department, disability accounts for the biggest block of prime-age men not working now, many of them getting government benefits. Economist Peter Morici at the University of Maryland argues some of these men, along with others who have simply become discouraged, could find work.
Indolence has become a problem with American men.
Morici knows this opinion raises hackles outside conservative economic circles.
When I talk about this on the radio, I'll get emails from someone who'll say, well, you know, I was a vice president of a PR company. Do you really expect me to take a job at a Starbucks? My answer to that is yes.
Economist William Rogers at the Rutgers University Workforce Development Center insists it's not that simple. He volunteers for United Way.
I'm sure you can find me one person who, yeah, he's being lazy and fits that. But for the most part, people want to work. People want to contribute.
Rogers says what's holding many of them back is low wages in the jobs that are available and deteriorating skills as they stay out of the workforce longer and longer. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And before we go, there are online registries for convicted sex offenders, right? Well, now Utah has launched a registry that lists financial criminals, a first of its kind. If you missed that piece on the air, it's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.